I think we are in. Here she is, everybody. Perry Morgan, cigar roller out of Denver.
Hello.
Thank you. Who knew? Hi, Perry.
Thanks again for having me.
You betcha. You betcha. How are you today? You're in Denver, yeah?
Yep. Straight out of downtown Denver currently. So yeah, it's a cloudy day here currently, but it's pretty warm out there. So
awesome. What elevation is Denver? I can't remember.
5280, exactly a mile high.
That's right. Mile High Stadium. That's right.
Yes. Yeah. Denver's pretty cool. That's where I learned how to make cigars. So was calling me.
That is fantastic. We are going to get into that. So as you know, the other day, very kind of you to send some of your premium hand-rolled cigars.
Of course.
I had your green band the other day. That was quite delicious, and I wrote some notes about it. It was really good. So this morning, I thought I'd go ahead, and it looks like maroon. It's your red band.
Yep. To be extremely honest with you, I'm still kind of all over the place with my blends. And okay. So that's why I told you, whatever I wrote in there is what that blend is.
Well, it was a good blend.
I'm trying to dial it down but there's just so much leaf out there and there's so many things to do. And I'm just enjoying myself trying different stuff and getting feedback from a lot of my obviously good smoker guys. So yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. So our origin story is kind of interesting. I was introduced to you by your long-term, I think, childhood. Correct me if I'm wrong.
College, but...
College, excuse me.
Yeah, almost the same, it feels like.
Yeah, and she's out of Chicago because I was visiting Big's Mansion, which I think she's the membership director for.
She is. Miss Laura Moran is their membership director over there at Big's Mansion. Yep, downtown Chicago. We played volleyball college together. So that's how I know Laura. And we played out there in Chicago, actually. So, yeah, that's how I know Miss Laura. And we've been super close since. So
that's fantastic. Well, my wife is from Chicago, which is why I was there.
Okay. I knew this. Whereabouts is your wife again from in Chicago?
Oh, goodness. So she went, now she's going to listen.
You're in trouble.
I got it right. Lake Forest?
Okay. Yeah. 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 And that's a really pretty area, actually. Lake Forest is a very pretty area.
Yes.
Of Illinois. So.
Yeah. And actually, the last time we were there, she went down memory lane and we went to her old house and saw her high school and
yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it was really fun.
Very nostalgic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I was at Big's Mansion, and I had met Laura through Karen, who's in the retail shop. And I had met Laura because I'm doing an event here in Bend.
Yes.
And one thing led to another, and Laura was like, oh, my goodness. Well, you should meet my friend, Perry. She rolls cigars. And I'm like, wait a minute. What? And so I'm thinking you're like in, DR or Honduras. Like, I don't know where you are. She's like, oh, yeah. No, she's in Denver, Colorado. And I'm like, wait.
Random.
Totally random. So
yes.
Let's get into it, Perry. How did you get into cigar rolling it's not your main business right now, but it's going to be, right?
They're almost pretty 50-50 at this stage. Okay. So that's great. I'm single. I don't have children currently. So I am ran by both of my businesses. But it's funny. It's interesting when people always ask, how did I get into cigar making? Sure. Because I graduated with my bachelor's degree in criminology and philosophy. So nowhere close to that. It was fate. Honestly, it was fate. I started working for a gentleman who is the only master cigar maker in the Rocky Mountain region, Mr. Clay Carlton. He is the only master cigar maker, again, in the Rocky Mountain region, and he needed help with his business and offered to teach me how to make cigars. So it literally kind of just found me. And I, of course, of course, yes, I will, here to help. So little did I know how intense it is. Miss Clay went to, he actually learned from a school a Cuban master down in Texas, Babalu, I believe. They don't teach anymore down there. But that's where he learned. And it took him, I think he went to school for, I think it was either a year, possibly 2 years, down in the DR. And so he has the DR connections there. He works for Victor Sinclair, which is the largest factory in Dominican, I believe, possibly the world, actually. And so Clay taught me about I think it was 2015, June of 2015 is when Clay taught me how to make cigars. So it took me a solid year to learn how to make cigars that I could actually sell. So, and specifically filler leaf, I mean, it's just quite the process, right? I mean, you got to, the filler, the molds, you got to, the construction's got to be proper. And then you go to the, you know, the wrap relief that has to look pretty. So yeah, lots of stages, but that's kind of how I got into it.
How did you meet Clay?
I was actually bartending for his, he owns a cigar lounge down here in Denver, Colorado, Palma Cigar Company. And I was bartending for him at the time.
Is it still around?
Yes, it is. Palma Cigar Company is still around currently. It's changed so much since when I started with him, you know, a while back. It's changed a lot. And I, you know, he's getting older and he's trying to phase out. And so I don't know how much longer Clay will be around, but he is a legend. I don't think people understand. I mean, he's the one that brought the tobacco in here, you know, into Denver, Colorado. And so, yeah, I'm grateful, you know, Clay's awesome.
Yeah. Clearly.
Yes.
I need to look him up. He sounds like a very interesting man.
We need to write a book about his life. So
really?
Yeah, he's a very interesting man. He's essentially Denver native. He was born in Texas, but his mom and his parents brought him up here, and he lived in Denver for most of his life. And he's owned a lot of businesses. He used to own pizza shops out in like Vail. He's also a barber. He cuts hair. Yeah, he's just a very interesting man. And so.
So how long have you been smoking cigars?
When I graduated college and I got out and I started working, I actually started working as a, home detention officer. I was in criminal justice. Right. And so my mother was working for a judge at the time in downtown Indianapolis. And I, was doing, like I said, I was like a home detention officer. And so when we would get off of work, you know, court people, court staff, lawyers, all, you know, judges, everybody, a lot of them would hit one of the cigar shops downtown Indianapolis. So that's kind of really how I got into it, was just being around it with the judges. And, you know, that's kind of where they hung out at. And so that's kind of really where it started. And then, yeah, I think when I did move out to Denver, I was definitely okay being around the cigar smoke. Obviously, that's something you have to get used to, right? Being in the industry, mm-hmm. Being a lady, I don't know, it can be different. It gets, you know, my hair is just enveloped in cigar smoke. But yeah, I think that's another big piece, is like, you know, being okay with being around, being in the smoke and whatnot. So
interesting.
Yes.
And I imagine. Well, two questions. One, what's a home detention officer? I don't know what that is.
Okay. So, you know, when you catch a case and they are determining whether you are going to be serving jail time or you can be a free citizen and go on probation. Essentially, it's right between that home detention, where you are not in jail, but you are serving your sentence at home, right? And so that's where they wear like the ankle monitor and stuff like that. Oh my gosh, that was me. So yeah, I would roll up to your house, make sure you weren't leaving or doing anything bad and all that kind of stuff.
Okay, we're going to loop back to that because now I have questions about that.
Yeah, random. Again, random.
Being a female around all of your colleagues, with judges, lawyers, et cetera, was that fairly male, fairly a male group?
Very male dominated. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that was
very much so. Yeah.
Okay.
Like I've been, I have a brother and I have a few boy cousins. I feel like my whole life has been male dominated. So nothing new. I enjoy it.
Yes. Okay. Well, that's good. Yeah. I mean, the cigar industry is very male dominated, although I do enjoy going to PCA and see a lot of the ladies there.
It's yeah, I think that's a very big misconception that a lot of people think that if they're, you know, most men are down there in the factories making cigars. That's not true. If you go down there, it's women. Women are making the cigars. So I think that's a very big misconception.
Have you gone to any, you know, Honduras or DR? Have you gone to any of those
factories? Yeah, actually, Laura, my good friend Laura and I went down to DR for my birthday a few years ago. And we got into the cigar culture. I was down there making cigars at some random, smaller family I wouldn't even say factory shop, I guess. So I do have a lot of ties down there. Again, Clay has a lot of ties down there. And so, DR is kind of, where I've had a lot of my experiences. But I would like to, like, Nicaragua. I mean, I blend heavy Nicaraguan tobacco. So I'm a very big Nicaraguan girl over here. And so I need to get into Nicaragua. I would love to make it over to Ecuador. So, there's a lot of places that I need to hit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you were down there and you were rolling and you kind of introduced yourself, did you get a little bit of a once over, like, you roll cigars? Like, did you have any of that or?
So funny how the whole situation is. Laura loves to tell this story because she laughs about it all the time. But we essentially had just walked into like a little shop, and the guy was saying that his uncle, I believe it was uncle, had his shop upstairs, and that's where he made cigars. And he was like, and Laura, of course, is like, well, my girl right here makes cigars. And I'm just like this white girl, you know what I mean? Down in the DR. Like, yeah. The guy looks at me like, yeah, okay. Like, doesn't even really register, I think. Like, and Laura's like, no, seriously, she makes cigars in Denver. And he's like, what, really? And he's like, well, I have a shop upstairs. I think my uncle's up there right now making cigars. I'll take you up there. And so we, like, follow. It was kind of weird. We, like, follow this guy down the path, up these weird stairs. I'm like, where are we even going right now? And we get up there, and sure enough, this guy is up there, and he is just like, I don't think people understand, but, like, you know, smoking in the islands compared to here in Denver, Colorado, it is so different. You know what I mean? Like, he had stacks of it. It's so dry here. You know what I mean? Out there in DR, it's the humidity is proper. And so just smoking out there is a different experience. We walk up in there, and he's just got, I mean, he's got his pressers, his molds, he's just got hundreds of cigars lined up in the walls, just been baking for, you know, years.
And he's rolling and smoking at the same time.
Yeah, yes, yes. And it was cool because he had all the same, like, utensils that I use. Very old, like, old stuff. Not new, just old school tools, I guess. He was up there making cigars, and the guy brought us up, and he was like, you know, she's saying, they were talking in Spanish, of course, so I only picked up a few pieces. But he was, you know, ushering to me, like, this girl apparently knows how to make cigars. And he was like, the guy got up and he said, sit down where he was sitting. And he said, make. And I just started making. And I was like, started making cigars. And they were like staring at me in disbelief. It's even funnier. There's another layer here because I had just gotten my hair braided too. So I was like a white girl with my hair braided. It was it was the whole situation. It was fun. I had so much fun that day. They were shocked that I could make cigars. There's pictures of it. Laura has pictures. We'll have to
pull those up. A couple photos. Yeah, I'd love to put them in this episode, actually. So you finish your first cigar. You roll it. Did you do like the rodeo PBR, like wrap it up, like done?
He was so kind. It was my birthday that weekend. And so he actually gave it to me and he said, you can keep it. We dated it. He let me keep the cigar I made there. I think they were just like, no way can this girl. At first he was like trying to like help me. And I was like, no, or like, know what I'm doing. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then he said to me, come back tomorrow. Like, come make cigars tomorrow. Come to work tomorrow. And I was like, you know, no. No, I'm not working.
Right. I'm here on holidays.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a very funny experience. So
have you, this might be a stretch, but have you contacted that family since you've been back at all? Or is that kind of a one and done?
No, but yeah, that's something I should look into. I mean, I could find him. I know exactly where his shop is at. So I would know how to find him. Yeah, for sure. So that's actually a very good idea. I'll be back in DR at some point soon, you know.
Yeah.
I need to hit the factories. I mean, you can go out there to Santo Domingo and, you know, hit all the factories. And so.
So, you know, being here in the States and being in different lounges and, you know, just seeing everyone enjoy, you know, a nice premium hand-rolled cigar and the whole experience of it. From your perspective, from your seat, what do you think the average cigar smoker either does not appreciate or simply is ignorant to the product that they have in their hand? And not out of any disrespect, but maybe just an unknown. We don't know what goes into this thing. We can watch YouTube and kind of see the mechanics of rolling a cigar. But what's something we wouldn't necessarily capture on a YouTube cigar rolling video?
Wow, what a great question. I would say construction. The construction of a cigar and just the time it really takes to sit down and make it, I don't think people, connoisseurs do know because they have seen the process. But some people, just the random person that smokes on, you know, a celebratory situation, I don't think that they understand the construction and how long it can really take. So I think it's just the process is so long. I very much compare it to winemaking, right? Like different regions, different topography, aging and aging process. Mm-hmm. And so ages of leaves, all this kind of stuff. And so that's another piece. How many different leaves are going into it, the ages of them, the different types of leaf. There's just so much, like even in the blending process, there's just so much that goes into it. Again, like the ages of the leaves, how many different leaves they're using. Mm-hmm. Is it a 3-blend, a 2-blend, a 5-blend? You know, there's just so many different things going on there. And even so with the construction, I know that people get upset, you know, when they get a tight cigar or a sorry, you know, something happens with a cigar. I'm always the first person to say, like, these are all handmade. All right. I'm not a robot. I can't do it perfectly. I do tend to roll on the tighter side personally because I like a tight, like, not necessarily tight cigar, but I like a thick, like, I like it to be
dense. A little bit more resistance.
Yeah. I like it to be dense. I don't want to, like, when I'm a feel tester when I, you know, am looking for cigar. I'm feeling it. You know what I mean? So that's how I look at cigars. That's how I like it. I know a lot of people are different, right? Everybody has their own preferences and whatnot. But for me, that's how I like it. And so, yeah, if you get a bad cigar, you know, just pick up another one.
Right.
So that's how. But, yeah, it's a very detailed process. And I think a lot of people don't understand that.
So have you been able to, from when you started rolling cigars and you're learning from Clay, and he was obviously very patient with you.
Yes, very patient.
But you had intrigue. I mean, listen, when someone gets into watercolor painting or into pencil drawing or something, like, there's something inside of them that there's some kind of passion, curiosity, and just fascination with that art. When I think of cigars, this is an art form.
Yes.
Where did that come from in you? Like, did your parents smoke cigars? Did you, like, just have you reflected on where this just curiosity and fascination with premium tobacco came from?
Love that question. When I first got started, I love that you say that because I was like, when Clay learned in a school, he made, this is what he told me. He told me that he made 10 cigars, 10 molds, which is 100 cigars, and he would wrap 100. So he would make 10, wrap 10. These are molds. So he would make 10 molds, wrap 10 molds every single day for a year. And I'm just like, I can't even fathom that. Like, I can literally maybe pump out like 3 moles in one day, and that takes me 3 hours, maybe 3.5 hours. Okay.
Now, when you say 3 molds, what does that mean?
Let me mold. So a mold is, let me just grab this baby.
So if people that are just listening on the audio.
Yes.
Ah, okay. We're looking at
this mold. This is a mold right here. And so if I open it up, this holds 10 cigars. And so this is what you obviously throw in the presser. I've got some cigars in there pressing right now, actually. Okay. Whew. All right. So this is what a mold looks like.
Interesting. Yes. Okay.
And so this is what holds. Obviously, this is your filler right here. This is what I've already blend and bound.
Okay.
And it holds 10, obviously. So there's 10 in there. These are molds. So when you sit down and make cigars, you're making like molds at a time, obviously.
So you could do 3 of those a day if you're really.
Yeah. And that's me pushing myself, to be honest with you. Because again, I'm also in real estate. And so I've got a pretty packed day. You know, I try to wake up, make cigars, and then, you know, I've got 2 businesses to run, I guess. But
by the way, I think this is a really good point for me to thank you for your time. We've been trying to schedule this for some time.
We have. So thank you for being patient with me. I'm like in busy season right now. And so that's my fault. So I apologize. So thank you for being patient with me. I really appreciate
it. Of course. Yeah, no worries. I've just been so excited to have this conversation. So, all right. So from the time you started rolling to now, you can do with real estate and all your other activities, you can do 3 molds a day. Have you been able to kind of hone in your process and be able to shorten that time to get 3 molds today is different than 3 molds 6 months ago?
100%. Yeah. I mean, it's true. I'm getting better every single day, which is crazy to think about. When I first started, it took me forever to make a mold, you know, it really did. When I see Clay do it, he does it so fast and so precisely, you can just tell the experience there. You know what I mean? So when you're watching people make cigars, it's quite amazing. Again, it took me literally a year to learn how to make a cigar every single day. I was making cigars every day just to, you know, get into a process of where I could start selling them. You know what I mean? Cause it just takes that, like my father asked you, my father loves the whole cigar situation. He is just so excited about making cigars. He doesn't smoke, but he just thinks it's cool. It's a very cool situation. And so he, you know, he's been like, you know, well, when you start needing help, I'm in the place where I need help now, you know, like I need to be thinking about possibly bringing somebody else on, but now I'm going to have to sit down and teach, right? And it's like, people don't understand, like, again, like what you're saying, it's going to take a lot of time. It's going to be every single day, at least 3 hours a day. You know what I mean? That you're going to have to spend every single day learning how to make cigars until you finally get to a place where you feel comfortable and confident, which takes a lot of time. It takes so much time. And so that's a really big piece of it. But yes, right now, I don't know. You know, I think about that a lot because I like to go slow and enjoy my time. I enjoy making cigars. I wake up in the morning. I have a really good view of downtown Denver. And I just enjoy it. And I think that that shows in my craftsmanship in my cigars. I feel like it's a weird situation, but I really feel like I'm almost transferring good energy into my cigars. in the mornings, and I thoroughly enjoy it. And I guess I could rush it faster, but like, I'm in a place where why do I need to? I'm like, this is something that I love to do. I'm passionate about it. I don't want to like rush it out. You know what I mean? I want to enjoy it. And I think that you can feel that when you smoke them, or at least I hope you can.
Well, I think, you know, so many angles of intrigue when I learned about you and what you're doing with cigar rolling, you know, all these characteristics, right? We've got someone in the U.S. in Denver, Colorado, like you're not in Tennessee, you're not in Connecticut, you're not in Florida, which is, you know, cigar rolling
place.
You're in Denver. You're a female, and only because that's unique. That's different.
Yeah, here in the States, it's unique. Yes.
Yeah, it is very unique. Yeah. So, so to know that your dad is behind it, like, I've got a daughter and we have a very special relationship and she's absolutely fantastic. And so I can only imagine to have that kind of camaraderie with your father and that he's super pumped about you going down this path of purpose with premium tobacco and rolling cigars. I mean, my God, that's got to be fulfilling.
Like the most fulfilling ever. You know what I mean? Yeah, my dad has always had my back, you know, of course, forever. My father and I have a very special relationship. Same with my mom. It's crazy. Those two are like my little, they're trying to create business for me out there in Tennessee where they live. My dad's trying to sell my cigars. You know, they're, my parents are like my little salespeople out there where they live. It's funny. And so, yeah, it's very, very, very special. Yeah, my dad thinks it's so cool. So, I mean, it's much better than being in home detention. You know what I mean? So,
right, right.
So, if we want to compare here, yeah, he never was really thrilled about me entering that force anyways. He just, you know, my well-being and all that kind of stuff. But so, yeah, it's been a very fun experience. He loves the whole cigar situation. Well, yeah, we're hoping to bring it up to that, you know, that area at some point.
Well, I'm working for you.
With Chicago. Yeah. You know what I mean? So actually right now, the biggest thing that I'm working on is trying to find a printer. So maybe your listeners could possibly help me. I am currently looking for a good printing place that can print my labels off for me, right? It takes a special printer to do the embossing, to do the die cutting, to do the foiling if I want that. And so that has been such a process for me right now. As you can tell, my bands are just my logo. And so it's just like, so that's what I've been working on lately. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. And my logo is pretty awesome. A friend of mine did that for me.
I love it.
Yeah.
It is badass. I mean, just, it is badass. It is
his name is Forrest, and we created this, I think, over like 4 months because I'm so particular. I know he got so frustrated with me through the process, but it came out so good. It looks so great. I'm so happy with it. And that's going to be the same thing with the bands when I go to print them out. You know what I mean? It's just like you have to get it right. It's just like a wine. Again, you literally buy them by the label, in my opinion.
Yes.
I mean, don't tell me you don't go in there looking at the boxes and you're like, oh, wow, that looks cool. You know, you have to get the labeling right.
It's significant. It's important. It's critical. I mean, we're visual creatures, and product marketing around cigars is so extremely important because at the end of the day,
you're looking at
all these different cigars, these different picks. And you're trying, you know, you're trying to think of a flavor profile and what does that band look like? And at the end, the band is super important.
It's so much. Yeah. And I'm like, it takes me time too, because I have to like sit and think about it and look on it. You know what I mean? I like to take my time with it. And so it just takes even longer because I'm like.
So I was recently, part of the reason why this episode took so long, not only your schedule, but my schedule.
Were traveling.
Yeah. And it's interesting. It seems like a good story to tell. So my wife and I, we were in Belgium because I used to live in Belgium when I was a younger kid. And so I was taking her to my neighborhood in Brenlalu, which is right outside of Brussels, actually right outside of Waterloo. Anyway, so we are staying by the Grand Place, which is just a beautiful architectural, you know, square. And what we always do is we find the cigar, you know, if we can find a lounge, that's the best, but at least find some kind of a retail store.
Yes.
So we found this retail store and we walk in. We're the only people in there. And it's beautiful, right? They had the glass cases. They had all the things, the ashtrays, the lighters, the DuPonts, and, you know, it was curated very, very nicely. And then I saw what I thought was their humidor, similar to this humidor back here. but the glass was all frosted. You couldn't look in there.
See inside.
So I walked up to the door and I looked at the guy and I said, do you come in with me or can I just go in? Because I wanted to ask, you know, be respectful.
Yeah.
He said, you can't go in there. And I'm like, well, what do you mean I can't go in there? He goes, it's against the law. And I was like, so I was trying to hold back my American, like, snottiness.
Right.
You know, and, you know, high maintenance diva that my wife might say that I am. And I said,
that's funny.
What do you mean it's against the law? I can't go in there. He said, no, yeah. You can't go in there. He goes, I'll get fined 500 euro if someone catches you in there. And I look at the guy and I couldn't help it. And I said, that's retarded. Like, that's stupid. And he said, you're right. It is. But I'll get fined. So my wife, Melissa, is overhearing this conversation. She's at the front door. She's like, honey, I'll watch the front door. I look at the guy. He looks at me and he says, okay, go in real quick. And I said, okay, fine.
Oh my gosh, what a cool wife.
I know. I was like, thank you. So I go in and it's beautiful. Like all these cigars and
immaculate.
The point of the story, right, is the bands and the product marketing. And I found some LFDs that were just really, really cool.
LFD, man.
So yeah, I really enjoy that brand. So I get a couple sticks. I walk out. And so we proceed to have this conversation. And I'm like, what is this law? And he said, yeah, it's cigars. They can show you cigarettes. And literally the guy's like, yeah, you could literally probably go down a couple blocks around the corner and see a fully naked woman like in a window. They don't care. But when it comes to cigars, God help you if you actually see a cigar. And I'm like, wow, I thought my state was like draconian. Like, this is insane.
Don't get me started on that.
Yeah. Is Colorado draconian as well when it comes to tobacco and cigars?
In my opinion, yeah, Colorado is, a little intense. Our tobacco tax out here is 62%. 62%. Whoa. I know that you live in Oregon, so I guess it's similar for you guys too.
No, it's a dollar a stick. Doesn't matter what the stick is. It's a buck a stick.
So I think I was actually, because I sell my product here in Denver now. I sell out of Cosbar, which is up north. So that's where I sell all of my product out of. It's called Cosbar, and it's up north in Lafayette. And we were having that discussion the other day. It's like, we don't know why Colorado doesn't switch to that, because that's what they, apparently you even make, you know, the state will make even more money off of it if they're just charged you like a $50 per, you know, 50 cent a stick or a dollar a stick or whatever it is. Yep. Like that would be, we need to get to that. And so I'm hoping that that's in our future, but yeah, Colorado is wild. You can smoke meth on any corner, but you cannot be smoking tobacco.
Isn't wow. that wild?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely wild in my opinion. So.
Oh, it is just so bizarre, and it doesn't even fit any kind of common sense framework.
Like, I used to do a lot of cigar events up in Boulder. You know, I used to do a derby up there, like a, you know, May 5th derby. Typically, it's on that weekend. I used to make cigars at the Flagstaff House. There's so many beautiful locations up in Boulder that I used to be able to make cigars out of. Mm-hmm. And you're not permitted to smoke any type. You can smoke marijuana wherever you want down there, but you're not allowed to smoke tobacco. You cannot smoke tobacco and you cannot consume tobacco in Boulder County. Even if you're like sitting on your own balcony that you pay mortgage on and your neighbor doesn't like it, you can get in trouble for literally smoking tobacco.
And now you're talking nonsense. That's not true.
It should be. I mean, that should be illegal. I don't know what's happening. But so now I don't do cigar making out in Boulder anymore because the laws are just so ridiculous. So, yeah.
I don't have any beef or judgment with people who smoke marijuana. I don't care. Whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
I don't particularly like the smell. But the fact that that particular market, that particular audience gets almost a free pass. And we, just smoking tobacco, don't, that doesn't seem logical to me.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And it's not even really the marijuana, because I mean, sure, you get the whiff of marijuana, but really in Denver, it's the meth. Open drug use down here is pretty crazy. But yeah, that's a talk for another day.
Yeah, same with Portland. But yeah, anyway, that's not fun to talk about.
Yeah.
So whatever, that doesn't matter. All right, I want to go back because I was thinking about your previous career and when you would go smoke cigars with your colleagues, the judges and the lawyers. What got you interested in that field, in criminal?
In criminology, you know, I'm not sure. It was, you know, when they ask you what you want to be when you're 18 years old, you don't know what you're doing. Like, I didn't know what I wanted to do. I had no idea. I actually really, I wanted to major in philosophy. I double majored. Philosophy was really what I enjoyed, but it's like, what am I going to do with a philosophy major? And if we're being even more honest, you know, I went to college because I wanted to play volleyball. And so, what was that?
Where'd you go to college?
My very first year, I went up to a school called Northwood in Michigan, and then I transferred out to Chicago, Elmhurst in Chicago, which is just west of the city. And that's where I met Laura.
Yeah.
So, I really wanted to play volleyball. Volleyball, I mean, I still to this day, I coach, I play. Volleyball is still very much in my life. So,
thank you for my life. I love it. My daughter played volleyball in high school. She did, she actually talked about like father daughters. We were just talking the other day because she did ballet for like 10 years.
Yeah.
And when she was really, really young, I saw 10 nutcrackers. Okay. I think I did. I'm going to give myself a pat on the back.
Yeah, good for you.
Thank you for 10.
You know, there are 100 more, right?
I remember it was a really big deal when she decided to stop ballet because she wanted to focus on volleyball. Anyway, that's it.
Words, yeah.
Super long story short, very emotional story is I reframed it for her and I said, you know, I think after 10 years, you're more retiring. You're not quitting. And there's
Always be in your life. It always circles back around, you know.
She plays volleyball now. She plays with all of her friends from high school and they go to a sand volleyball court or a hard court and they love it. They have a good time.
It's fun, but it keeps you out of trouble when you're younger. Sports, yep. I mean, they did for me. I mean, 100%. I definitely found trouble, but they kept me out of the big trouble, I guess.
Yeah, that's right.
Truly. And just, yes, life lessons and all that kind of stuff. I was listening to a podcast the other day and it said that you don't truly understand a subject fully until you teach it. And I never that hit so hard with me because I just started coaching, I've coached for a while, but trying to convey young ladies how to move their bodies and do stuff and be in position and all this kind of stuff really makes you articulate your words around, you know, it's like, I've just been playing. I just play, you know what I mean? So learning how to articulate your words and really teach is just a whole, you see it from a whole different side. And it really, I was like, wow, that makes a lot of sense. Until you do something, you don't really, you know, see the full spectrum of it.
Right. Well, so speaking of that, then you were talking earlier about how Perry Morgan Cigars is growing, and you might have to bring somebody on.
I feel so blessed. I have just had so much support in the community, and I just feel so blessed. You know, I'm so happy. I'm at a place where it's like, yeah, I probably do need to hire somebody. I'm doing events and I'm, you know, selling. I can't make cigars fast enough, to be honest with you. But there is a little, maybe I'm resisting growth. I'm not sure. But there is a little piece of me that's just like, I like to be in demand and I like it to be more of like an experience almost. So I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see where this takes me. We'll have to probably teach somebody at some point. But I do like being exclusive, I guess. Or, you know, you have to really book me out in advance. Not in.
Oh, I know. I wanted you for our event in
August. Yeah, you know, I kind of like that vibe. You can't just, you know. So I don't know. We'll see.
you know, that's the age old question, right? It's the fisherman at the ocean, and some guy comes up to him and says, you know, you could get boats and you could get bigger and then you could fish whenever you want. And the guy says,
exactly. Well, the exact story. Yes.
I'm doing that now. Why do I need all that headache? You know,
like 100%. I heard that story the other day too. And I was like, does that not make so much sense? So
I mean, if you can get your 3 molds a day, AKA 30 cigars,
and enjoy it.
Right. And that tobacco line is revered. You really think about your brand and the flavor and the blends, and it becomes that kind of exclusive cigar, and you're able to have a level of lifestyle that works for you.
Exactly.
Why deal with trying to train another roller and then another roller, and then you've got business and then you got warranty and just ugh.
100%. Like when I first started this business, I had no idea what I was getting into. And, you know, honestly, thank God, because if I did, I probably would have been like, I don't know if I want to do that. But you just jump in, you just shut up, you jump in, and then you just figure it out as you go, right? And so that's what I've been doing. You literally figure it out as you go. But yeah, exactly what you said. I don't want to limit myself. And so I don't want to sit here and say I'm going to do something or whatever. But I'm very open-minded. And I guess I'll just, I'm going to go off of what my heart says. And, you know, when it's time, I'll know. So I don't know.
Right. And then someone's going to come along. They're going to have resources. They're going to look at what you're doing and say, Perry, let's go to the next level.
Yeah. And if that feels right at the time and it aligns, then yeah, you know, so yeah, I'm excited. There's so much happening right now. And people, like, again, I'm getting so much support from the community, and there's just like, anything is possible. And so I'm just really lucky to be in this place right now.
So, well, congratulations for all the success that you're having. So I tried to get you at the Ben Burnham Barrel event. I was late in the game finding you, discovering you in Chicago, of all places. But I think you've got an event coming up. Is it this weekend, or what's your next event?
I have a lot of events coming up, actually. Right now is my busy season, like June through really October is just people are getting married. There's corporate events. There's just a lot of parties, bachelor parties. There's all sorts of stuff, golf stuff. I do a lot of golfing events, which makes sense, right? Golfings are my favorite, too. Man, the golf guys, I just love the golfing community. I golf myself, so it's just, it's a fun time. It's a little like pressing because I have so much stuff I got to get done. But I think I thrive off of that. I thoroughly enjoy it. It's fun. It's a little chaotic. I'm up at like, sometimes I'm like up at 2 a.m. making cigars. You know what I mean? So it's fun. I enjoy it. But yeah, right now is busy season. So usually like December, January, February, it's kind of, you know, a little bit, I have a little bit
not
more
as much
time.
Yeah.
But really those are really the times I should be cranking them out, to be honest with you.
Well, just, yeah.
You know, like get ahead. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so yeah, I do. I have like 3 events this month. This random Michael Jordan situation came up. Laura just called me like 3 or 4 days ago about it. And so I have to, you know, be ready for that kind of stuff, like things that come up last minute, you know. So, yeah, I was telling you that we're heading over to Michael Jordan's house on the North Shore. It was kind of random because Laura, again, my girlfriend Laura called me and she was like, hey, you know, Biggs was contacted for, you know, Michael Jordan is a very big cigar smoker.
Huge. Yep.
Huge. He has his own humidor or his own like lounge, I guess, in his place that has all the air stuff going on there at his place in North Shore. And Biggs was contacted because a realtor is selling his property or just sold it. And so they wanted to bring in, you know, like a cigar piece because they were going to have a party there, like a big broker's open. And of course, you know, I'm a realtor and I make cigars. And so she was like, Perry, you know, you need to come out. You need to come to this Michael Jordan's house with me next week. And I'm like, oh, my God, like I have an event the next day. I have a lot of stuff going on. Right. I have a closing tomorrow. And so, yeah, I'm just busy. But yeah, so it's important for me to stay ready for things like that come up that I can't miss. You know what right. I mean? I'm going to figure that one out, you know?
Absolutely.
So.
That's outstanding. So when did the Cigar Queen 3 come into existence?
I think in 2017.
Oh, really?
Yes, because, I've never been a big social media person. But obviously, it's why am I not using this tool? And even now, it's why am I not using this tool? I should be uploading my videos online. I have a YouTube platform and I already have a lot of subscribers and I don't do anything with it. And I need to learn how to edit my videos. I'm the perfect example of a procrastinator that is just sitting here waiting for it to be perfect. And it's I just need to do it. And right. So it's something I need to use. I need to get on. I need to figure out how to edit videos and then I'll start uploading them everywhere. And so give me another month and hopefully.
Well, maybe that's your hire, not another roller.
I think you're right. And I know I'm sleeping. I'm sleeping on the biggest thing I could be doing. And so I'm glad we're talking about it because it's just, Perry, get it done. What am I doing? You know?
Well, this is what I love because I actually know a guy who is in the social media space.
Okay, yeah.
And he's quite talented when it comes to editing, right? He's very, very talented, and he's in the social media space. I might want to connect you with him.
I talk about these things is for stuff like this because networking is so important.
It's so important.
And the fact that I'm letting little editing things hold me back, but that's exactly I want it to look a certain way. I want it to come off in a certain way, right? And so yeah, that would be extremely helpful.
So speaking of that, I'm really, so I started this podcast May of last year. You're my 14th episode. So
14,
maybe one a month. It's not my business. I love cigars. I love meeting people. I love to learn about people. Origin stories are always the best.
Yes. So
for me, this is a really nice outlet to stay connected to the community, learn, meet great people, like yourself.
Yeah.
But in thinking about what you're doing, I'm going to connect you with this person because I think that would be really, really interesting.
I'm so up into it. And the one thing I love about this cigar place is just the community. Cigar community is something real. And I don't think people understand that enough. The cigar community, anywhere you go, cigar mm-hmm. community is such a profound community. Seriously, any person I know in the cigar community, we can all speak to this. You know what I mean? There's something there.
And it's cigar culture. Yeah. And cigar culture is, it's interesting because it's very inclusive. It's far more inclusive than people realize.
Yes.
You come into a lounge and you can have different views on all the hot topics, right? You can have a different view on religion. You could have a different view on politics. You can have a different view on whatever that is. But there's something about a lounge and having a cigar. It almost flattens out the curves. And it's you can have a conversation and it's not hot and contested and emotional. You might tell somebody they're stupid and, fuck off. But again, that's cigar culture, and you don't get your feathers ruffled. Or at least that's been my experience.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the getting your feathers ruffled or being offended. Yeah, the offensiveness is not there. You know, people right. can hang. You know, they can give it exactly. and they can take it.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a real thing, and mm-hmm. I want to see cigar culture thrive. I want to see it grow.
Same.
No pun intended.
I think I have seen it grown. I mean, just working in the industry, I've seen a lot of younger people come in and starting to get into it. And, you know, it reminds me of my grandfather, pipes and stuff like this. Like, it's, I think it's coming back into play. I see a lot of younger people getting involved again, and that makes me happy. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So, it's exciting. You know, now that we're talking about all these events and whatnot, I'll have to make sure that I get your big event on my calendar for next year.
Yes, absolutely. We need you out here. I think that would be a blast.
Yes, I've never been to Oregon, and it's always been on my list. So,
well, and Bend is spectacular, right? I mean, a lot of people.
Heard. Yes.
When you like, how did you land in Bend? And I've heard more times than not. Well, I was actually considering Boulder, and I was considering this place because they're all very similar.
Similar.
Right? High elevation, yeah. Mountains, rivers.
Nice areas. Yeah.
Yeah, all of that. All right. So you're going to Jordan's on the North Shore. You're going to roll cigars. You're going to get some video of that, yeah?
I don't know if I'm going to make cigars anymore. I might just go and give my cigars.
Okay.
They're, you know, when they're throwing this party, they want to make sure, you know, cause the house is already sold. And so it's kind of like a broker's opener situation.
Okay.
And so obviously the thing for me right now is that I haven't really, learned how to travel with a lot of my stuff. And specifically because I do have an event the next day, I wouldn't be able to ship it and stuff like that. So I'm trying to figure out for future stuff, like, you know, I can drive somewhere, that's not a problem, but like, I need to kind of figure out how to fly it on the airplane and all that stuff, all that jazz.
I mean, TSA and all of that. I mean,
exactly. And I'm like, you know, I use, you know, large cutting objects.
Right.
Like big knives.
Oh, wow.
So I'm like, you know, I have to like really figure out what I'm doing there with that. I think shipping it is fine, but for this specific party, like I won't be able to ship it there and then ship it back within the time we need it. So.
Yep.
At some point, I think I'm going to just have to get a bunch of supplies out to Biggs because I'm going to start doing more stuff out there. So I might just be...
Hey, would you please let me know the next time you're out of Biggs?
Yes.
I love, shout out to Biggs Mansion. I know Laura's doing a good job out there. That place is magical. I love
magical is the correct word.
Yeah.
The old mansion, just all of it. Just the history there. It's been there forever. The owners are great. Yeah. Magical place is correct.
and the vibe is good, right? And it fits what we're talking about. I'll go upstairs. You know, I pay the fee. I'm not an annual member. Not yet anyway. I need to get probably more often to take advantage of it. But
for sure.
The times that I've gone up in there, everybody is super chill, really nice. Actually, I've only got one bone to pick with Biggs, and I'll share it here publicly on the podcast. So it is kind of an upper echelon, you know, higher quality lounge.
Yes, it is.
Brownstone Mansion. I mean, the leather furniture alone has got to be in the hundreds of thousands. I mean, it's just such a nice place. Anyway, I was wearing a cashmere sweater and I had my cashmere Loro Piano hat. If you're familiar with that hat, it's the one that the main guy in Succession wore. Oh gosh, his name's not coming to me. But anyway, the Scotch actor, and he was wearing that hat. It's a very expensive, beautiful hat. Mm-hmm. So I'm wearing my LP hat and my cashmere sweater, and the bartender, really nice guy. I can't remember his name. Nice guy.
Yeah.
Up to me, he's like, "Sir, I'll need you to take off your hat."
What?
And I'm like, "Okay, wait a minute. This is a Loro Piano hat. Like, this is." This hat is a really nice ball cap. Okay, so I took off my hat and I'm just like, come on, man. Like
the hat really? Goes with the cigar outfit, right?
Okay, all right. So And, you know, wear your collared shirt. But, hey, listen, it's got a vibe. I like it. I'll respect it. I don't wear that hat in there anymore.
Darn.
I know.
I've never been in that situation. I'm not a big hat person, so I can't relate. But I apologize because I know that's frustrating.
Well, you know, I mean, whatever. It's fine. I will respect the rules of the land. So, but I do. I like Biggs a lot. They do a really good job.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah.
Go ahead.
What was that?
I'm just lighting up. Do you have, do you mind if I pivot?
Please.
So have you come up with, you've got your logo.
Yeah.
And it's under Perry Morgan, but have you come up with a product line? Have you come up with any brands within your line, brand names of your sticks?
That is also on the schedule, right? Because I have my brand, and then of course I want to have different lines under my brand. At the very beginning, no, I didn't. But I mean, of course, I've always thought this, but I think a lot of things need to come into play for me to get there, because yes, that's what I'm getting towards. And like I said earlier, I've been doing a lot of different blends. Like, I've been using a lot of different leaf from different places just to figure out what is my taste? What are my blends? You know what I mean?
Right.
Clay was a big Dominican person. And so I grew up off of a lot of Dominican and whatnot. That's what a lot of, like, that's what his blends are. And so, of course, I'm, you know, number one, I'm not going to copy his blends, but two, it's fun to be able to find my voice in that, right? My voice in blending. What do I like? What blends do I enjoy, you know? And so I've just been really, that's been a part of the process, is just like trying to figure out, who am I? What are my blends? I've definitely landed, like I said, I'm definitely more of a Nicaraguan person. I think I blend a heavy Nicaraguan. A lot of seasoned cigar smokers smoke Nicaraguan, and so I think that's really my base there. But yeah, I throw in a bunch of different stuff, and I think I am honing in on a few blends that I will consistently make. Yeah. I actually have, yes. But I haven't put, again, I need to figure out colors and different stuff to be able to label it under that specific one. You know, like there's the Cameroon one I'm going to come out with, and I will put a specific label on it. I think it's going to be my label. It's just, they're all going to be different colors, you know? So I think I'm just going to do my label just in different colors, and then that will be my line. Like the jewel line is what I'm going to go for. And so I'll have, like, you know, darker jewel colors, and they'll each be different. But yes, there's going to be so many things, because as I go on, you know, as I get 10 more years into this, I'm going to want to do different stuff, you know, and hopefully by then I will have the connections to box makers and all that kind of stuff. So,
Perry, no. There's probably two or three people in my head right now that we're going to get you connected. And not that you don't already have a solid.
It would make such a big difference, because this is just such detailed work. You know what I mean? It's like, sure, I've gone on and I've like Googled where to go, and I've done all of this like research, but it's like still trying to find good people. You know, it's
A
lot. And this is detailed work. And it's not like you're a random person that makes cigar boxes. You know what I mean?
Right.
The people that have the connections to the factories have all of that, right? Like Clay worked for the factory, has the factory connection that makes his boxes, makes his labels, makes his cigar bands, you know? And so I don't have that. So yeah, that would be great. Again, cigar community, you know, it's very important.
So I'm looking at are those leaves behind you?
Yes. Yes. This is my humidor here. I need a bigger
leaf, though. Not rolled cigars, but those are of your leaves.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, I am storing a bunch of so when I blend and bind them, I obviously bind them in these molds, and I put them in my big presser over here. I have a huge presser, and I press them, and then I have to put them back in the humidor just like this for a few months, right? Because I want to age them. And so, so they're able to marinate the flavors together in here in the humidor, and then I will bring it out and put the wrapper leaf on it.
Okay.
So it's a very long process. So yeah, I mean, I have stuff that's been sitting, these have probably been sitting in there for a month at least, and they're going to be sitting in there for longer than that. But yeah, on the top here is all of my leaf. Yeah, I have binder and wrapper up here, and then this is my filler right here, and then I've got some more filler down here. But yeah, Seiko Lahira, I've got some Visa down there. But yeah, yes.
You're like a kid in a candy store.
I love it. It's so fun. I know, I need a bigger space. I think I'm going to start using Casbar's humidor up north because I just need more space for my leaf, you know. But yeah, it's fun. I enjoy it. It's fun to be able to like, what am I going to make today? You know, I have like so many options. You know, I have like 5 different Seikos. I have 7 different Lahiras. What do I want to blend together? You know? And so, yeah, it's fun.
You have a pretty good recipe book of your blends.
Yes. I think I'm honing on a lot of stuff. I still do a lot of research because I like to know what blends well with other stuff. But yes, I am getting to a place where, you know, I know what goes well together, what complements each other. But there's sometimes you'd want to throw like some of these really random cigars. That's another thing. You know, a lot of labels will not tell you, you know, you look at the labels, they're not going to tell you where their blends are. They may tell you where the tobacco is from, but they won't tell you the exact blends and what leaves are using. You have to really research it because they don't want people copying, right?
Exactly.
It makes sense. And so I try to be low key too, but honestly, I enjoy it. I like to, so yeah, I try to research. I try to, you know, what exactly is in the Liga Privada, you know what I mean? So like, yeah, I like to, what's in the Judge? The Judge is one of my favorite cigars. I love my father's. That's been one of my big go-to brands. Yep. Aging Room is great too. But yeah, I've had a close relationship with the people at my father's. So, but yes, you know, it's fun. It's fun to be able to like blend your own stuff and learn in that different light for sure. So
I just had did an interview last week, which is coming out, and then we'll get yours uploaded soon. I had the 20th anniversary JJ by Don Pepin, my father.
And Don Pepin, yeah.
Oh my gosh, it was so good. Good.
People love those Don Pepins.
Yep, yep. It's a great line.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not a huge Don Pepin fan, but yeah, they usually do have an anniversary line, and people go crazy over it. So, makes sense.
So I have to ask: are you a cigar and coffee pairing person, or a cigar and spirit pairing person?
That's a great question. This like tells a lot about a person. I feel like I'm definitely more of a, I wouldn't say party gal, but yes, I like to enjoy a cigar at night with my friends. I like to have a beer. I like beer. Another father piece there. my dad raised me right. All right. I drink beer.
That's fantastic. So are you drinking Coors? You drinking the native land?
No, that is piss water is what we call it.
So what do you drink?
Honestly, nothing better. Like Mexican beer. I like all sorts of stuff. I like IPAs. I love a good Modelo Negra. I like, you know, I like beer. I'll drink any type of beer, to be honest with you. I like wheats. I like, also, I live in beer capital out here, which is great. Yeah. You do too, I guess. Oregon, Portland has a lot of.
Well, let's shy
away. Like Mecca beer.
We're 3.5 hours away from Portland, but Central Oregon is.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. Yes.
Just kidding.
No. Hey, it is what it is. I mean, they brought it up. Listen, I came from Portland. I miss old Portland, but
you know. Yeah, for sure. I'm sure you've seen a lot of change. So
a lot of change, and in Central Oregon, there was a point where we had more craft breweries per capita than any town in the States.
I'm a big beer person. Colorado is very similar to that. Lots of beer out here, so I enjoy that.
Yeah. All right. So when I said spirits, you went to beer. So you're a cigar and beer person.
I guess so. I do like spirits. I drink tequila. If we're going to get down on spirits, I will indulge in, you know, I drink bourbon and whiskey too, so I will. But, you know, for me personally, you know, that's what I like. So that's what I drink.
My wife's favorite beer is Coors Light.
I think that's Laura's favorite beer.
She's from the Midwest. She's from Chicago. They love their beer.
Makes sense. Yeah.
It's sweet. She likes the sweetness. So I guess we'll call it sweet piss water, but whatever.
There you go. Whatever.
I'm just trying to get her into cigars, but that is a tough road. One that I've been told I'll never be successful in. But
I mean, you've put her onto like the Javas and the flavored stuff, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And she doesn't like it.
No. But she doesn't mind if I smoke. So then we're.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Yeah, we're in fine.
Yeah, some guys don't even, or some ladies won't even let their guys come into the, you know, to smoke because of the smell, and that's ridiculous. So
what's your local lounge there in Denver?
We've got a few down here in Denver. I started at Palma, and so Palma is always going to be, you know, one of my number ones because that's my home.
Yeah.
So Palma is a big one. And actually here in Denver, you cannot buy a liquor license with a tobacco license anymore. You have to be grandfathered in. So you can't just, I think that's the way with a lot of places now, unfortunately. Yeah. But yeah, so he was grandfathered in. So he has both licensings, which is great. So does the Brown Palace just right up the street from me. And I do a lot of cigar stuff for the Brown Palace. That's a very well-renowned lounge down here in Denver, like very old school, proper, very elite, I would say.
Okay.
That's where a lot of like, you know, the businessmen hang out is there. And then
ladies that go to the Brown Palace?
Yes. It's a very big hotel, and there's just a cigar room inside of the hotel.
Okay.
So it's called the Brown Palace Hotel. And Churchill's is inside of the Brown Palace.
Yeah, okay, got it.
And so, I would suggest anybody to check out that hotel. That is one of the prettiest hotels down here. Very old, historic. They have the cool cigar lounge in there, of course. And Ibrahim, that runs the cigar lounge out of there, is great. I do a lot of, like, their Father's Day events and stuff like that. So, and there's another place out here called Cigars on Six. Okay. They don't have the liquor license, but a lot of these are clubs, right, where you can bring in your own stuff, kind of like Biggs.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I think those would probably be the big three. Casbar, where I sell out of, is up north, close to Boulder.
Okay. So what is this? It's kind of a maroon kind of red label. What does this sell for? What do you sell?
In the stores, around like 16 or 17.
Okay.
But if you're, you know, coming to me, it's a little bit different. So,
well, sure. But I'm just talking retail pricey.
Yeah. Retail. Yeah. Retails. Yeah. I'd say retail. I try to stick around the 16 to 17 mark. Okay. That'll eventually go up. But right now, you know, that's what I'm going to get away with that for as long as I can.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, you can tell we've been talking now for over an hour. And I still have a good third of the stick left.
You should pull that off and see what's in there. I think that's, might be the Colombian one that I gave you, but I'm not positive.
I wait a little bit longer, but I think for what we're doing right here, it makes sense. All right, let me pull this off.
Yeah, some people are very intense on their bands. I also leave my band on until I usually don't smoke a cigar all the way down to the end. That's not my thing. I know a lot of people will literally smoke it till their fingers fall off. That's not me.
Yeah, I don't pick. Yeah.
I don't like that.
So can
but I also leave my band on too. I like to smoke with my band on. So.
All right. Can I share what you wrote in the band?
Please do. Yeah. Let's see what you got.
All right. I just want to make sure before I announce
for sure.
It.
No, I share my blends.
Okay. Good. But that's very unique in terms of the detail that you go into. You'll certainly have, you know, Aficionado and the other publications, they'll give kind of a broad description of either
for sure. Or
something like that.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So, filler, we've got Dominican, Nicaraguan, and Ecuador.
Okay, you got three blends. So that's a good cigar. You got three different regions there.
Yeah, it's very delicious. And the wrap, it's a broadleaf, and what you wrote is QB52.
So that's a new wrap relief I just got in. The QB52 is a strain of broadleaf out of Connecticut. It's not as dark as the Oscuro, the double Maduro, and it's not as light as the normal broadleaf. Just for you, look at that good handwriting on there. Those are, see, keep that around because you probably won't be seeing that much longer.
Oh, yeah, no, I kept the other one too that I had just the nicest sundae with a coffee.
These are like the very originals of Perry Morgan Premium Tobacco here, what we're seeing. You know, eventually it's not going to look like this, but you are getting some original stuff here, so.
Hey, listen here, sister. I am keeping these. I'm probably going to frame them.
We'll look back and laugh at him.
That's right. Hey, I knew Perry when, right?
Way back in the day when she was using, who knows, yeah, to wrap her cigars in. I know that little, it's just paper right now, but we're gonna find a real label that I like. We're getting close, so.
Yeah, that's awesome. So do you have a license then what do you have to have legally to roll cigars? Is there any kind of regulation around that or?
Yeah. There's a lot of regulation, right? They got to make sure they're getting their taxes out of it. Yes, I pay state and, I pay state taxes. I pay municipality taxes here in the city. Mm-hmm. You do have to have like a, manufacturing license essentially because I am a manufacturer, right? And so that comes into place. Luckily I, you know, now that I'm selling at a Casbar, they have taken on a lot of that because I have an agreement with them, right? Okay, nice. So they've taken, you know, they do a lot of, they pay a lot of my city taxes and whatnot, and so yeah, okay. Now that I have an agreement with an actual establishment, it makes it a little bit easier on my part. But yeah, getting in, like, that was the biggest thing, getting into the industry is like, wow, how do I, you know, get legal with everything? That's definitely a big piece to getting into the tobacco world. I actually reached out to one of my friends because I was having such troubles with it here in Denver. One of my friends was like, well, you should reach out to the cigar community. It's like the CAA, Cigar Association or something. Have you heard of this?
Well, there's PCA, which is the Premium Cigar Association. They're the largest organization around cigars.
Okay. No, I didn't know about them. It's a different one. It's like CA, like, I don't know. I'll have to send it to you. But I reached out to them on multiple occasions. Could never hear back. No one ever contacted me back. And so that was a little frustrating. Mm. But yeah. Yeah, the whole legal thing is a big situation, so I'm glad to be through that.
The hoops and the loops and the so
that, and especially for somebody like me that, like, sure, I'm a manufacturer, but like I'm not a factory. I'm one person. You know what I mean? I'm not, so trying to group me into like a manufacturing just seems kind of silly because it's like I'm not 100 people. I'm one person making stuff. So yeah. And I'm so rare, right? I'm like one of the only, it's just me and Clay that make cigars out here in the Rocky Mountain region, right? And so there's I get in touch with my lawyer and my lawyer's like, well, we don't know what to do with you because it's like, I don't think there's no laws around you, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Perry, I want to go another hour. I don't know that we can at this point, but I feel like we could go another hour.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed this.
Yeah, diving deep. It is, what an absolute pleasure and delight to meet you, hear about your story, and learn about Perry Morgan Premium Tobacco. So cool.
Thank you so much for having me on. This has been so fun, and I can't wait to continue this relationship. Like I said, next year I will get your event on the books so I can make sure to be there and bring all my stuff and make cigars for all your people. And yeah, it's just the community. So grateful. Again, thank you for having me on.
All right, Perry. Thank you.
Thank you.